Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to give you this topic today. Jesus' resurrection. Power for daily living. Say that. Say, Jesus' resurrection, is power for daily living. We don't say Jesus has risen because it's past tense. We say Jesus is risen because he is still alive to empower us for daily living. The angel said this in Mark 16. It says in verse 6, but he said to them, the angel said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, because Peter had a hard time. You know, God knows, God sees us. When you struggle, he sees everybody and got to call your name too. Go check on Peter. Go tell Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So because Jesus rose and didn't die again, he is risen. If you come back from the dead and you die again, we say he has risen. He had risen. He's gone now. But if you, he said, but he is risen. It sounds bad in our English vernacular, but it's correct to say he is risen because he is still risen and among us today. And that's our focus today, is to understand that resurrection isn't only an event from the past, one of the greatest events in history. It is also power for daily living. Amen. Say that again. Resurrection is my power for daily living. I want to share with you an animation produced by New Creation Church in Singapore. And I showed this last year, probably before that as well. It's a very strong interpretation of Jesus' crucifixion. At the moment when Christ died, he said, it is finished. And you heard Minister Bertha talk about that. What he finished was the work of paying the price to save us, to redeem us, to bring us back to God, and to empower us for daily living. So watch this video, brief video.
Forsaken me.
That is very well done. Very well done. There's only one thing inaccurate about the video. That when the Bible says that when Jesus rose and got up, he folded his garment and put it back. It was just like thrown on the thing in there, and he folded it up. Amen. So interesting, isn't it? Jesus took he wasn't in a hurry, man. Everything decent and in order, amen. He folded up his garment, folded it, put it down, and walked on out, amen. And I chose the graphic here, you see. He walked out, just got up and walked out of there, amen. His outer garment was folded up. Anyway, I thank God for the remembrance that what Jesus did is, again, paid the price. The reason the suffering was so intense, it wasn't for what he did. It's for what we did. Amen. Not just you and I in the room, but every person from Adam up until the time Jesus came, until after Jesus came and rose and ascended, from Adam to today, all the people who ever lived, that's why he suffered. To be able to be the Lamb of God, as the skit taught us, and to be able to pay the price. So all of us, any of us who are called, who are drawn, who say yes to Jesus, that we will be redeemed and saved. Thank God. And his death was significant, but if he hadn't risen, there'd be no victory. So the whole gospel isn't that he died, but that he also rose. And so we celebrate the resurrection. Good Friday was the recognition of his death, but we recognize on today the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, New Living Translation. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Apostle Paul writing. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there was ever one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as far as righteousness, I obey the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. And for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead in daily life. It's good, isn't it? Amen. And self-righteousness is a roadblock, y'all. I mean, Paul, as he said, anybody could be claimed to be righteous by religious acts. It was him. But he said to us, in essence, self-righteousness is a roadblock to walking in God's best. Now, righteousness is right standing with God and standing in the right place. But it's something you can't do by yourself, for yourself. It's something you can't do, you cannot do without Christ. But yet people keep trying to make themselves righteous by what they think they're doing. So in this text, the Apostle Paul destroyed the notion that we are good enough and can do enough to stand before God on our own. Paul had all the credentials as he said, if I was a real Hebrew, if there was ever one. He ticked all the boxes. But Paul came to understand that compared to knowing Christ and experiencing God's true righteousness, everything else was like garbage. As he said there again, God's way of making us right with God depends on faith. Faith in God brings the true righteousness, not the things you think you're going to do to impress God. Hint, God's not impressed with you. Not impressed with anybody. Not the pastor, not the pope, not anybody. Because nobody compares to Jesus. Amen, somebody? Now, my question, though, is this. In a world of knowledge, what do we need to know? In a world of power, folk want power. Well, what kind of power do we trust in? Now, listen, y'all, we have our accomplishments. It's not that what you've done is actually garbage, just that compared to Christ. So you have your academic transcripts, you got degrees, you have earned your way through life. You've done well, you've studied and done well. And, you know, we invest 20 years of our lives from, you know, age 2 and 3 to high school and college and more. We spend tens of thousands of dollars to gain education, tens of thousands. You know, and then we spend the same and more on our children. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We spend most of what we have to lay a good foundation for them. And so, yeah, we invest a lot. It's important. And you know, I think about our ministry, and we've supported missions, local, international. Y'all have sent me halfway around the world 6 times to minister in Africa. And, you know, we have secured and retired bank loans of over $1 million, you know, for this building and other buildings we've had. We received over $200,000 in grants for media camps and Christmas outreach and so forth. And all this is with a smaller church. I promise you, big churches do way more than $1 million, okay, in loans. But we've done all this. And we have accomplishments. We all have accomplishments. Many of us have academic degrees. I have four degrees. And many have military service. Many have expertise and training in different areas. But like Paul said, compared to knowing Jesus and resurrection power, it's like garbage. Amen. Now, it's not actual garbage. What'd I say? No. But compared to, if you think that all you've done, all we've done, impresses God, you've made a mistake. Because none of the great things that we have done or have will keep us out of God's judgment. None of those things that we have done and have will guarantee your peace and joy in life. Amen. So, as the old saying is, people say, you know, don't get it twisted. Amen. Say, I won't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Because sometimes people get it twisted. They think that their looks and their luck and their lifestyle is going to carry them through life. Don't get it twisted. Even some famous people who want to lead our nation boast about their wealth and possessions. Look at what Jesus said about people like that. Revelation 3, verse 17. Jesus said this. Not just rich folk, even poor folk trying to get rich or die trying, okay? All them folk. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So Jesus said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might be able to see. So Jesus, again, not impressed with anyone, because nobody has done what Jesus has done. So Paul explained this to us. He had achieved all. He had everything that the religious world thought you needed. And yet he recognized, compared to Christ, it's nothing. It's garbage. So he learned not to rely on his knowledge and credentials and experiences. I encourage you, don't rely on those things. You have it. You use it. God has blessed you to get it. Thank God for it. Don't trust it. Amen. More than you trust Jesus. Amen. Now, Paul wanted to know two things. Two things. The text said, first, Paul said, I want to know Christ. Now, listen, y'all, knowing about and knowing are not the same thing. You can meet somebody for the first time. What's your name? Bob. Okay, now you know Bob. You don't know Bob. Just met him. So you may know, but not know about, not know intimately. So Paul said, first, I want to know Christ. Then Paul said, I want to know or experience the power of his resurrection. Wow. That's what Paul said. Out of all he already knew, he realized, what I really need to know, I need to know Jesus. And that power of resurrection. We'll see why that power, knowing it, was so important. Now, so when somebody, listen, y'all, when somebody helps you, we call it intercession. When someone comes between you and your situation and helps you, it's somebody interceding. For example, this is tax season, and there comes a time when you need somebody to help you with your taxes. Sometimes we do our own taxes. But things change. Amen, somebody. You get help sometime. And the last thing you want to do is ask your friends for help. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for your friends. Just know what not to ask them. Because they think they know all your, have all your answers. Say this. Say this. Say this. Say, cheap advice, is expensive. Say it again. Cheap advice, if expensive. Okay, all right. Hebrews says this, 7:25. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. So then Jesus came to intercede for us. That's my point. Resurrection from the dead, the fact that he is risen means he is with us now. He can intercede. He can help us. He ever lives. If he had died and stayed dead, he couldn't do anything. But because he rose from the dead, he ever lives from heaven to intercede for us. Understand that. He's praying for you. He's helping and guiding you every day. He doesn't sleep, doesn't need rest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So thank God that it is comforting and empowering to know that God provides everything we need, y'all. Including foundational knowledge. Say foundational knowledge. Now, that's the kind of knowledge you can build other things upon. For example, medical professionals have foundational knowledge in science and biology and so forth to help bring health and recovery to people. Doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists like Mr. Sean, they have foundational knowledge, all right, to keep you alive. Amen. That's fairly important, amen? Yeah. Or engineers have foundational knowledge on to allow machines like airplanes to fly through the sky, take you places. Amazing stuff. Parents have foundational knowledge to allow children to be raised in a loving, nurturing environment and prepare them for a successful life. I was talking to Carol this morning. We greeted this morning. Thought, you know, we've been together long, all of us, Owens and Hudson's, all of us. And, you know, we had little children. Yeah. Now our children, they got little children. We grandparents now, right? And we've seen what foundational knowledge looks like. Amen. We've lived it. We've done it. We have raised successful children. Amen. Yes. By the grace of God. Amen. By the intercession of Jesus. Not on our own now. Amen. Don't get it twisted. But by the grace of God. But here's something else. But the foundational knowledge of Jesus and his resurrection power sets the stage for your life to have a victorious and a purposeful life. Hear that, please. Because the theme today, again, is Jesus' resurrection is power for daily living. He ever lives to make intercession, to get between you and your circumstances. To bring help when you need it. Amen, somebody. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed help. If ever needed help in your life, raise your hand. Raise your other hand. Raise both feet. If ever needed help, raise everything, you know. So, but why is knowing Jesus foundational? Well, redemption is a life. Well, first of all, three things. For redemption, for renewal, and for refreshing. And when you understand foundationally what it means to be redeemed, it means you have a life free from sin and condemnation. So I am free from sin and condemnation. That feeling of I feel guilty, all that. Well, Jesus has, he came to intercede and deliver you from that. Then there is renewal. Renewal is your inward person. The Bible says we are renewed day by day. And then finally, it's refreshing. Say refreshing. Refresh. It's like springtime, you know, when things come back to life, you see. So redemption, renewal, and refreshing come from your foundational knowledge of Jesus Christ. Please hear that. So again, our big ideal today is that the power of resurrection is daily strength through the Holy Spirit. Please say that again. The power of resurrection is my daily strength through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a scripture, Romans 8:11. I read this. If I've ever visited you in the hospital, I read this to you. I say this because it's so true. It's so powerful for Christ's followers. Romans 8:11 says this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So if Jesus isn't risen, that doesn't happen. The same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. Say it for the West Coast. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen. Say it. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Ooh, man. That's awesome, y'all. If I was younger, I'd run right now. But I can't run. I just move my feet a little bit. I shuffle my feet a little bit. I'd run on that one. The same spirit, not a different spirit. That video you saw, that spirit that raised from all that suffering, all that torture, all that sickness and disease he endured for us, the same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. If you're a Christ follower, if you follow Christ, if you don't follow Christ, he don't live in you. You don't have access to that. Unless you're truly in Christ. Wow. So to know Jesus and resurrection power, that's the whole key here. Because resurrection, again, was not only a past event, It is present day power for standing. The word resurrection is from a biblical Greek word, anastasis, a beautiful word. It's a combination of two words which essentially mean up and to cause to stand. All right, anastasis is the word for resurrection. And so it means to cause to stand up, to cause to stand up. So no matter what has fallen, what thing in your life may be dead, resurrection is the power to cause you to stand up again. Say it. I will stand again. No matter what happens, Jesus' resurrection power will cause me to stand. I will stand up again. Yeah, that's daily power, y'all. This is daily now. This is daily. This is every day. This is what is available to us. This is what's in us now. Amen. We don't go look for it. The biggest deception in life is to look for things you already have. Amen. You already have it. So don't get it twisted. Have somebody try to tell you, come over here. Why? I want to impart to you a blessing. I already got it. Yep. You know, fly across country, go to the conference to get something. Now, I go for some information. I go for some encouragement. I am complete in Christ Jesus. Bible says, you are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. So all I need from you is information. On what I already have. Yes. Amen, y'all. Amen. I say it all the time. Don't have an empty vessel syndrome. That is, somebody tell you, you empty, and I got what you need. Right. So come over here and I'll give it to you. Tell you what, you stay over there. And I'll stay here with Jesus. Amen. Because I have the same spirit in me that raised him from the dead. And if that's not enough, ain't nothing you can do. Now, we thank God for people who teach and preach and inform us, but don't get caught in this thing of thinking you need somebody to know Jesus. You need somebody to teach you what Jesus said. Because this whole, the big idea today is, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Those two things, when you know that, you're in a good position to grow and help somebody else. Amen, somebody? Amen. Romans chapter 6. How do we get there? How do we get to that place of that daily strength? Well, Romans chapter 6 summarizes it. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Here it is. Therefore, verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. When it said we were bear with him through baptism, that's not water baptism. That's baptism into Christ. Corinthians says, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. That's the one baptism. Now, water baptism symbolizes that. We're baptized in water, symbolizing, okay, I have been baptized into Christ. And now I come up because I'm a new person. Come out the water, symbolizing new life, newness. So water symbolizes that. Now, so he said here that we should also walk in newness of life. This is so good. Say newness of life. That's why Jesus came to give us this newness of life. And I want you to see here that the text is very, very clear to us with us about this, because if it doesn't come from Christ, it won't last. It won't work. You may get it and be happy for a minute, but the things that God does for you are foundational. So newness is two things. The Strong's Concordance of New Testament Greek words brought this out. The word for newness, it means life on the life of a new quality. Life of a new quality. It's all kind of life, you know, human life, animal life, plant life. But this is God's kind of life. The God kind of life is life of a new quality. Also, it is in the new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state, which is eternal life. Huh, wow. So because of Christ, we have a new quality of life, a new state of life that's totally different. It coincides with life in this world, but it's foundational to it. That makes sense? Please get that. So in Christ, what you have every day is newness of life. Say, Lord, thank you.
Lord, thank you.
Because of you,
I have
newness of life. Wow. Listen, y'all, there's enough old stuff hanging around you, in you. But one of the greatest advantages of knowing Jesus and the resurrection power is that your inward person is being renewed day by day. Paul said that. Though the outward man is perishing, inner man is renewed day by day. There's no newness without Jesus' resurrection. He is risen. Because he's risen and ever lives to intercede for us, he's doing all this work in us. Every day. Say every day. Jesus Christ is all about newness, y'all. All about newness. And that no one has ever experienced a man coming back from the dead. Especially after all that suffering he endured and punishment he endured. That in and of itself was newness. He is the epitome of newness. Christ's all about newness. He changed the whole paradigm of the Hebrew and Jewish systems. And he came and just, what was normally divided, you know, Jews over here and Gentiles over there. He said he made one new body of the two. He's all about newness, y'all. Uh-huh. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
I mean, some of us were good sinners, like my wife and Bertha. But some of us were wretched sinners, like me. I don't care how nice you are, you're still a sinner. You're still not righteous in your own self. But some of us were really, really way out there. Amen, somebody. He reeled us in. Some of us like fish, you go fishing. Some fish, you really mean to come in easy. Some fish, you got to fight them. Get them in. You got to knock them out once you get them in, you know. That was me. Let me say this and wrap up here. This is good news, people of God, all friends everywhere. That Jesus' resurrection is power for daily living. Jesus will take you as you are and where you are. You can't get ready for this. He'll take you as you are and where you are. Jesus will take you from spiritual death to new life. Jesus will show you the exceeding greatness of his power. There's all kind of power in him. You're not seeing all he can do. You've seen some things.
Amen.
But you haven't seen all he can do. Jesus will release that power in your life.
Amen.
And Jesus will introduce you to a resurrected lifestyle to empower you for daily living. Amen?
Amen.
You believe all this?
Amen.
Give God some praise. Come on, bless him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Father, I thank you for this celebration of Resurrection Sunday, in which we remember that the reason we are here is because Jesus is risen. And that the resurrection, when it happened in the past, it released blessing and power for our future. I thank you, Father God, that we sit or stand here today recognizing that we are experiencing newness of life, or can experience newness of life if we aren't already living it. Lord, thank you for that new quality of life, that new state of life. Thank you, Father God, you'll take us as we are, where we are. You will raise us from spiritual death to life. You will show us the exceeding greatness of your power. You'll release that power in our lives. And then, Lord, show us, introduce us to a resurrected lifestyle, anastasis, the power to stand up, stand again. You'll introduce that to us and empower us for daily living. We thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' name.